Sisters and brothers, if you've been with us here at Willoughby Church over the last many weeks, you know we're studying 1 Corinthians. The text for this week was going to draw us into a conversation on cheap grace, and the one next week was going to draw us into a conversation on head coverings and Christ's headship over men and men's headship over women, and that very difficult text. So I thought it would be timely and important to give something that's far more relevant to what's going on with the COVID-19 outbreak. So I'm going to offer just a bit of a homily this morning. My wife twice or three times visited Costco or No Frills this past week, and each time she was blown away, really blown away, at the number of people in the store pushing, as many of you may have seen, giant buggies filled with cans of food, propane tanks, outdoor grilling units, bags and bags of rice, more than one per buggy, and of course, I don't know why, but toilet paper. Her word to describe the atmosphere was pandemonium. And there is indeed, isn't there, sisters and brothers, a certain crackle and buzz in the air all around us due to the coronavirus, COVID-19. The first 15 articles on my online news feeds today were abuzz with updates and new outbreaks and new travel restrictions. Yesterday, perhaps many of you saw CTV offering special programming, bringing us to the front door of Prime Minister Trudeau, who's himself now entered into a two-week period of self-imposed isolation due to his wife's contraction of the virus. The fact that all of us are watching this from home today, are worshiping at a physical distance from one another in the comfort maybe of our living rooms or our kitchens or elsewhere in our houses, just deepens the sense of how odd this moment is for us in history. There's a certain electricity or maybe even crack of doom in the air. I've noticed that on the street, people's responses are all over the map, as Jenna mentioned yesterday too in her pastoral letter. Some of us are a bit excited because, to be honest, our lives are boring and the difference is welcome. Others of us are just a bit on edge because things right now are really uncertain. And to be perfectly honest, we like a more stable and more certain universe, one that is, please, far more in our control. Others of us are just concerned and we want to know what we can do because we're action-oriented people, so let's get going. Others of us are reacting to others' reactions. The more hysterical others get, the more contemptuous we feel for the hysteria and want to tell everybody just to go and take a chill pill, please. And yet others of us, and I think the vast majority, are just a bit afraid because we've got loved ones who are perhaps vulnerable to this disease or traveling somewhere abroad, or because we ourselves feel a sense of vulnerability and lack of security at the moment because we're what-if kind of people who are worried about food shortages, power going off, job losses, wage losses, how we're going to care for our kids when the daycare shuts down, and on and on and on. Our responses are indeed all over the map. But what I also personally hope is that one of the responses that we might have to everything that's going on around us is to see in it an incredible opportunity. I'm not trying to be morbid here or saying that you need to love what's happening, but rather I'm suggesting that one of the things difficult and restrictive times like these invite us as humans and Christians in particular to do is to see the opportunity that these times bring before us. I saw a TED talk a few years ago by an artist who had a high point in his career as a graphic artist. He was astounding and had precise hands. This same artist developed a tremor, a shake in his hand. And he thought it meant that his career was over, completely over, tragic. Until, as he put it, he accepted his new limitations and, quote-unquote, embraced the shake. What ensued was an exploration for him in the art of pointillism, a form of art where you create portraits and pictures one dot at a time, thousands and thousands of dots making up a beautiful picture, the whole. And he discovered that he was stellar at it, Several other new art forms also opened up to him, and what he learned was that by embracing the shake, a whole new and exciting world opened up for him. And this is the sort of opportunity before us now, friends. As COVID-19 spreads and our society responds to it, we have the opportunity to embrace the shake of the present moment. Because we too, now many of us, either are going to be restricted and limited and constrained in ways that we're not used to. And being at just the beginning of this virus's impact, as one specialist said, we don't even have a clue yet the extent to which we might be quarantined, isolated from large crowds, kept out of school, prevented from going to work, and the like. Drastic changes might seriously be right around the corner, and we should be honest about that. Perhaps there will be shortages of various kinds, some suffering, a lack of toilet paper, a lack of food. Perhaps we're going to have to learn to be content eating rice 6 out of 7 days of the week. Who knows what's ahead? But wherever this has already gone, wherever this goes, the question I want to pose this morning is this. Are we going to be able to see and seize the opportunities of the moment to embrace the shake? One person thinking about the present moment reflected on Shakespeare during a plague of their own day and said this. When Shakespeare was quarantined because of the plague, he wrote King Lear. And we have opportunities too, closer to hand. The opportunity, for example, to simplify our lives, to get back to the basics, return back to the things that are most important in life, not to the rat race, not to scrambling about to make more money or make a name for ourselves, but to go back to the relationships around us, to the people in front of us, in our homes, our families, the people whom we don't know yet who live on our street, who, by the way, might be languishing inside with the loneliness epidemic that's been going on for far longer than COVID-19 and probably killing more too. Are we going to take the opportunity as Christians to love those who are around us? Small kindnesses, a word, a meal, a gathering, and maybe some big kindnesses too. Maybe it's time we hosted a wine and cheese party for our neighborhood, as long as, of course, over 250 people don't show up. But perhaps our greatest opportunity in the moment, friends, is to revisit again for ourselves and to embody and or proclaim for others the deep truths of the Christian faith, the Christian story. Truths that we can confess as Christians with our lips, but not always be truly grounded in ourselves in functional ways. Because, you know, we've had it really good for a long while now in Western society. Most of us have never experienced major disasters, major shortages, if any shortages at all ever, or war. We've had very insulated and cushioned lives. And sometimes our gospel presentations have followed suit, or our feeling of the faith, if not our thinking about it, has followed suit. Isn't it true? We've assumed that to receive Christ is to receive the guarantee of a pain-free life. We've assumed that to follow the risen one gives us the right to claim health and wealth and victory in the present time. We've assumed essentially that we human beings are mostly in control, and that science and technology will indeed actually be able to solve our problems and lead us inexorably down the path of continual progress. But now, with a fly in the ointment called COVID-19, with this shakeup that is escalating in seriousness by the day, and in fact doubling consequences, according to experts, every 4 days, with what will likely be many sick, many suffering, and many, God help us, dying, we have the signal opportunity, Christian friends, to hear with fresh ears and speak with fresh conviction some foundational and life-giving truths of the Christian faith. Truths like this. Our Lord never promised us a pain-free life. In fact, he said starkly, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." And we can proclaim and cling to the truth today that our hope is not that all goes perfectly well in this life then, but rather we confess and cling to the truth that our hope is in the life to come, in a world to come, where all will be made new and where we will be with God on an earth then, utterly, without nasty viruses and disasters of other kinds. And thus think about it. We will be in a world without hospitals and without fire departments and without police departments and without prison wardens, because we won't need all those things anymore. We are to set our sights on the celestial city, the city of God. And now is a time for us to remember that and to glory in it. And finally, we can proclaim with joy today, friends, with great joy, and cling to it ourselves and remind ourselves of it. And perhaps I think this one at the present moment is maybe the most important and pressing need. We need to be reminded that we are not in control. Mm. We're not in control. And to think that we ever were is completely delusional. But this doesn't mean that we despair. Because the truth is that, as we love to proclaim in the Christian Reformed Church, our world belongs to God, and He is in control. And what's more, He loves us. He's crazy about us, crazy enough to die, and He wants what is ultimately best for us, and He knows how to get us there. And it's this sort of perspective on life, friends, that enables us in times like these to say what the brilliant C.S. Lewis once said to a frightened audience during World War II with Germany and the prospect of an atomic bomb going off. Lewis said this, I love it. The first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we're going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. Since our world belongs to God, beloved, we have hope and we can have calm as we surrender to Him. The question is, are we willing to embrace the shake? The shake brought to us by COVID-19. There is much opportunity here if we have eyes to see and are willing to see. May the Lord open our eyes to it and our hearts, and may He be glorified. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, Amen. Amen.